Hey guys, welcome back. Thanks for listening to another episode of Craft Your Career. We're so excited to get this podcast up and running. You can find us on Instagram at notjackiekerang and pete_c09. Give us a follow and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. We are back with another episode of Craft Your Career. For those of you who don't know and you're not going to know, this is actually take two because yesterday we botched the audio and we lost Mark's track, but we are happy that he loves us so much that he wants to come on and talk again today. So thank you so much, Mark. You are a counselor and also in the band Goalkeeper. I wanted to just thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for coming on the show twice, actually.
Yeah, dude, no problem. This is awesome.
It's so funny because, like, we're learning so much. We're still so new that it's, like, we're learning so much along the way. And I'm loving every minute of it. Like, every minute of it. Like, I remember, like, yesterday we were, like, about to download the audio. And we're, like, oh, my God. No, right? And then we're just
Where's Mark's track?
Like, oh. But you know what? It was such a great conversation. I'm sure, you know, the conversation's going to be just as great today. So, thanks for coming on again.
Of course.
I think we're all enjoying a little happy hour on hump day. Got myself a raspberry white claw. Got the Michelob Ultra Bud Light. Speaking of drinking, oh my God. So I am one of those people who falls for those Instagram ads that you see. And then you just like order them, right?
I got the burrito blanket.
Oh my God. I saw that. I was like, I don't know.
There's some things where I'm like, it's comfy as hell.
I was going to say, is it like so comfortable? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I saw this thing, right? And it's called the Kong. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
I've seen something like that, but not that exact thing.
So what this is, it's a koozie. It doesn't fit slim cans, but if I had like a Coors Light, it's a koozie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you take this thing, it's a little nozzle like off the side. And you like plug it in the bottom. Oh, nope, not like that.
Oh,
so basically, it plugs in the bottom, and then it becomes a beer.
Yo,
beer
that's sick.
And you pour it in here, and you just like, isn't that so cool?
Mark is gonna immediately go buy that awesome. For the road.
Honestly, it was like $20. Like for those of you who are listening and can't see, basically it's a giant koozie with like a little hose attached. And you like unscrew the hose from the side and plug it in the bottom, pour your beer in the koozie, and you just chug, right? Maybe
incredible.
Have your own and don't share it, especially with
the
Rona going around. But it is honestly, and what's really cool too, is that it comes with like a lanyard, right? So when you're at like the Eagles games or whatever you're tailgating, you can like wear this shit around your neck. And then you have it. It's so
That's
corny,
awesome.
But it was really cool. I thought I would share that. Shout out to Kong.
That is awesome. And I promise I want to get right into it. But first I have to give a quick shout out to, how much did that cost you, Jackie? $20?
It had to have been like $20-$25. Yeah.
That is the power of branding, my friends. If you have a good brand and you market it correctly, that is how it gets done. $20 for that piece of plastic that I could have made for $2.
I wish it was
$2.
Yeah, it probably costs less than that because they're probably making them wholesale, and when they go in and sell them, it probably costs way less. So I want to shout that out real quick because I think that actually is funny. As funny as this conversation is, I think that actually does create value, especially for people trying to make a product or sell a product, or any marketers out there, is that branding is so key. And I know for a fact that translates well, not just products, but like with your services or creative projects that you have. So I think that'll lead us right into Mark. Mark is a excellent brander, especially with his band. So Mark, talk a little bit about Goalkeeper and maybe some brand strategy that you might, incorporate with the band.
I mean, our big brand is positivity. If anyone who knows us, the three of us are just super positive in general. Like our last EP was called Bad Times Don't Last, which is about taking the situations and looking on the positive end of things. Like instead of saying, oh, this breakup destroyed me, it's the worst thing in the world, it's saying it's like, all right, I learned a lot about myself in this situation. So it's not the end of the world not to be in this relationship with this person. So we just try to send out positivity like all the time, as much as we can. Don't really focus too much on the negative, other than like the real negative stuff. Like you have to, otherwise you're just not human. I think you say like if you you don't want to be nauseatingly optimistic all the time because that's
absolutely not.
Yeah,
people are gonna cut, like that's just not genuine. But the big branding thing that we do is we're just all over social media. So like different Facebook groups and Instagram groups. You know, when someone says, "Oh, like share your band or any bands from like the Philadelphia area," like one of us, usually me, will consistently comment like Goalkeeper and like a link to like the record. We're very big on, since especially since we're still small enough where if we get a comment on social media, like we can still reply to it. Like we reply to every story, we reply to every comment, every retweet, and not just like from the band. Like if I see someone retweet something that the band posted on Twitter, I will retweet their retweet and comment on theirs saying like, "Thank you so much. Like you're awesome. You're friends," like all that type of stuff. So it's like consistent. It's almost like every time someone does something to like help us, we consistently make sure we like we reach back out and help them in some way, which I think then, like, because that's just who we are in general, that helps people feel more valued, that they're like investing their time and energy into us, like in our music, whether that be buying merch, coming to shows, spreading our name, or all of the above. So I think that's like our big brand is positivity and then like positive interaction with our supporters.
Yeah, I would just
huge. For, yeah,
yeah. I think it's sorry, Jackie, you can go. Jackie and I are the CEOs of cutting each other off.
It's the worst. Like, it's so much easier, like, when you're in person and you can, like, read each other's cues.
Yeah.
Like and know, like, who's going to talk first. That's all I really need to say. Like, honestly, like, that engagement is huge. Like, even when you're, like, on Twitter and on Instagram and you in, like, a clothing company or a product or, like, your favorite, like, ice cream and you, like, tag them in your story or even your favorite, like, celebrity and they reach back out to you, you're like, "Oh my God, like they saw me. They said they noticed me," right? And social media is like a huge, like we talk about this all the time. It's a huge source of validation. And so when someone that you look up to or someone that you like or you like to follow, like reaches back out to you and says, "Hey, I see you down there. Thanks so much for the support," that means so much more, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And like even those companies that, like you were talking about the koozie that you bought. Like there's a lot of those scam companies out there where they don't email you like your order confirmation. It takes months to get to you. It's probably not even the right product. And like they might see like a surge of business for like a month because everyone's clicking the buy button, but they're not going to have any longevity because they don't have any of that, you know, positive support with their customers. Like, okay, cool. We sold like 25,000 units of whatever we were selling. We made bank, but now it's like, we can never run something under the same company name again. We can never advance to something else. We can never buy up like another product to resell because we just completely destroyed our clientele's like morale, like exactly. And connection with us. So I remember not to go off like a huge tangent, but just something sometimes simple as so you both know the band All Time Low.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're huge fans of like, and anyone who likes pop punk music usually is. But I remember their drummer who I follow on Instagram, he posted on his story a couple months back about this one band, 4 Year Strong song off of a record that like I really liked, but like most of their fan base didn't. And I just like commented on the story, like, "This is like an underrated record." And he had a conversation with me for a good like 30 minutes, just like Instagramming back and forth. I'm like, "Dude, you were like best friends with Blink-182 and tour all around the world, sell out like tens and thousands of like arenas. And you took the 30 minutes of your day to talk to some dude you've never heard of in your life." You know, like that just makes me want to go see you guys more just because you just made me feel important. You know, you could have just ignored my comment, but you didn't, so.
It's modern day branding, and I think that's so important. It's like you're being able to brand at scale. And you know, I've been to plenty of Goalkeeper shows, and for those of you who don't know, they play in Philly all the time. They even play in New York, and they get pulled there because you guys care about your fans. You know, you talk to every single one of them at every single show. It's unbelievable. I'd be so exhausted, which is awesome. You guys are fun to be around, like, you know, and like I know what I'm gonna get when I'm interacting with you. Like, I think that's super key. It's like if you like are somebody who's like so back and forth on like, you know, I'll just give a band example. Like, so like if you're in a band and like one day you're super like upbeat and happy and like you're this and that, and the next day you're like a complete, like your next show you play, you're a completely different band. It's like, well, I don't know what to expect now. It's so confusing. It's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that you guys do a great job of, you know, keeping really consistent with, you know, your image and what you guys stand for and stuff like that, which I think is great. And I think that's led you to a lot of success.
Well, that's the thing about everything. Like, you know, I know we're talking about like work and everything and like, you know, doing a passion along with full-time work, and consistency is like the biggest thing. Like, and anything you do, like you consistently work hard, if you're breeding a brand of positivity, like you're consistently positive or at least honest and genuine, you know, and just any company out there who sells anything like these beer cans, right? I love the little twist top aluminum cans for some reason. I just love them more than bottles. They're consistently well, like structured, like they never, yeah, never leak, they're never broken. So it's like, you just trust it. Like, consistency is such a big thing with anything you do, especially like when you're doing like your passion project. And that's inconsistency is like, I think, the single biggest thing that destroys so many companies and bands and everything you do, because you're right. Like you said, the one night in New York, you could be the nicest, most loving person in the world, and everyone online is bragging about how awesome of a time you had. But then in Philly, you're a complete douche. And everyone in Philly is like, oh no, they're assholes and we don't want to come see them anymore. So it's like, you just destroyed the city's like support for you solely because you were an asshole one night, instead of just at least faking it a little bit. And just, you know, or what I like to do is if I'm like really, really tired or I have to get going or I'm just not in a good mood, I will tell people, I'm like, hey, I am not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just not feeling it today. I have to go to the van and just go relax. You know, I need to get away. I just need to go another place and just kind of sit in some quiet, because it's just like a little bit of a mental rattle today. And people are like, oh, dude, you're good. Like, please go. Like, please go do your thing. Like, thank you for at least telling me that, and not just like, you know, brushing me off to make me feel like I bothered you.
And that's transparency. I mean, I think you show like being able to kind of just be honest with people about it rather than just blowing them off and not saying anything. Like, if you were just like, yeah, like screw you and just dip, people are gonna be like what's up with him? If you're like, hey guys, look, not feeling it, transparency here, I'm gonna go chill out, they're like, yeah, no problem. So I guess that kind of leads us into the topic I mainly wanted to focus on today, which was being able to handle, you know, a full day job while also pursuing a passion project. And I think that, you know, it's awesome that you're able to stay so consistent between, you know, your passion project as well as your day job. And, you know, give us a little background on your day job and, you know, how you're able to accomplish that.
Well, for those who don't know, I am a mental health counselor. So I have my master's degree in psychology, so like a master's level therapist working towards my state licensure. I've been doing that. I've been counseling, if you consider all the work, like in grad school for about 5 years, mostly in drug and alcohol. Right now, I'm in a community mental health clinic. So I work with most of my clients have various mood and psychotic disorders, so bipolar, depression, schizophrenia, personality disorder, stuff like that. I have a different setup with my job. So being in a band, it's a passion project, yes, but it's more than that. It's like something that we really want to do, like with our career. Like if I could just stop working and just solely focus on the band to be financially sustainable, I would. However, you can't really do that, especially at our stage. And all three of us, actually, because you could do this interview with any one of us, we all have jobs that allow us to take as much time off and tour and record music without any penalty, as long as like we do our job that we're supposed to do. So for me, I'm what's called fee for service. And for those who don't know, it's the traditional sense of what you think a counselor is. Like, you see a client, you get paid. If you don't see a client, you don't get paid. So I don't have the normal 9-to-5 hourly wage. I had that at one point. I had a really bad experience with it, especially trying to do the band at the level we're trying to do it. So I purposely sought out this fee-for-service job, which a lot of counselors in my field tend to stray away from or use kind of as like part-time work. Like, I'm going to do my 9-to-5 here, but I'll do this fee-for-service job at nighttime, like 2-3 days a week, just for some extra income. But for me, it works out great because I can work as much as I want in a week. If I want to see 80, if I can somehow fit 80 clients in my work week, I can do it. Like, they're not going to care. But then if I need to take off 3 months for tour, they don't care about that either, as long as all of my clients are taken care of. And that's, you know, the variety of, you know, tasks I need to do for clients, such as treatment plans and crisis plans, releases of information, medication appointments. As long as all that stuff is just taken care of before I leave, they're like, yeah, you know, peace, have fun. We're here for you. It is. Like, I got so lucky with this company. Like, it's unreal. And all three of us got lucky. I mean, even my drummer, Cody, his boss used to be a professional musician, so he lets him take off as much as he wants and actually buys us food and, like, snacks and shit for the tour. My singer, not, like, so he doesn't have anyone who... It is. It's great. And it's like my singer doesn't have, he doesn't have anyone who's like in a band, but it's the same type of thing. Like, we support you. We see how much you're doing. And he can actually take his job on the road. So they're like, dude, as long as you're getting your work done, you don't have to be in the office. Like, we, you solely have an office in case you want to come to work someplace that's a little bit less distracting than home, you know? And the only time he's kind of been given, like, you know, the talking to, I guess, if you want to say, is if, you know, he wakes up the day after a show and the website he's supposed to have updated isn't updated, but that's like on him and he admits that. So,
right.
But yeah, so we all purposely sought out jobs that can we allow us to like work and have like career paying positions, you know, really well, like good salary based right. jobs. But let us take off as much as we want. So
that's awesome.
There's my long tangent,
I mean, like,
about that.
No, that's like that's perfect great. Because I mean, like, so a couple of things like I want to touch on from what you just said, like, okay, one, you like you sought out a job to fit your passion, right? So you know, and you're not just like, oh, I just play in a, and I just play in my garage with a couple buddies, you know. You actually go on tour. Like, you're pretty serious in the music world, and like you have like fans. You have a project, and you've been growing over the last 2 years. It's not like. Like I said, it's not like you're just like, oh, can I take off work? You know, me and my buddies all want to meet up and play it down at the bar on Saturday night. You know, it's not something mm-hmm. like that, but it's great that you like sought that out. But I mean, another thing too, is that a lot of us in the nine to five quote, I'm throwing up air quotes, 9-to-5 desk job, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of like that work. I mean, I've had a 9-to-5 desk job where I finished all my work in 2 hours and I just sat there on my phone. Like,
such a waste
it's such a waste of time, but that's a spot where so many people are stuck in that mm-hmm. like it's like crap. Like, if I wasn't here, if I can get all my work done by noon, if I had noon to five to be able to work on my passion or my side project, I would be so much further. And that's why people yeah. get frustrated with the 9-to-5. But that's the thing too, is that having an employer who understands that is huge as well, because one, they're going to support you. Two, it's going to, I think in turn, it's going to make you want to work harder for them if they understand, you know, mm-hmm. your passions, right? If they say like, hey, like that's a, you need that work-life balance. That is so, so important to, you know, and especially if it's something that you're working your ass off to get to that goal, right? I mean, so have you ever had like a job where you got like, I mean, you remember your drummer was like, gotten like a little tiff with his boss or something for not completing a website. Have you ever been in that position with a employer that was like, hey, like, you know, you're taking off a lot of days. Like, what's going on? Like, I need you here kind of thing. Have you ever experienced mm-hmm. that?
No, I've actually been really lucky with that. Because like going back to like what we were talking about originally about consistency. So like when mm-hmm. I am at work, I am like busting my ass and working and meeting all the clients and making sure paperwork, like if I see a treatment plan doesn't expire till like, let's say like, okay, like today is a perfect example. Someone's treatment plan expires June like 25th. Right. So I was saying to myself, okay, I could like let that go. I don't have to do it today. I'll probably have a session or two with them before that date so I can do it by then. However, like, what happens if something comes up and I need to take the day off because like the record company, the record label wants to have a meeting that day, and that's the only day they can do it. Well, now I can't meet the client, then I can't update the treatment plan. So like, you know, okay, it's like 3 weeks before schedule. They don't care if it's updated that early, but it's like, okay, I updated it now and that bought me 3 more months, you know.
Cool.
So consistently just getting work done early, meeting the clients, just, you know, doing all that stuff. So then my boss has actually been more hey, like, when are you going on tour again? Oh, I leave in like a month. Good. You need this time. You need to go
get
out. Yeah, exactly. That's please awesome. Get out. You've been seeing like 50 clients a week and doing all this paperwork. Like, get out.
I think that's so important.
You need like, your break.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just so much, like, I feel like there's so many toxic, you know, work environments out there that getting something like that is like an absolute blessing. Like,
oh, yeah,
I know absolutely. I've been in a situation where like I didn't even take off for like band stuff and they like smacked down on me just for talking about it. They're like, yeah, no one cares like that you're in a band. Like,
oh,
it's like so goofy. Like, that's a goofy little silly thing. Like, you should only care about work. I'm like, okay, sorry that my life doesn't consist of working 12 hours a day and then watching Netflix till I fall asleep and then doing the same thing over again. That sounds miserable. I like it, just it baffles me to like, if you don't have like a super crazy passion, and it would hard press me to like think that somebody doesn't have that. I feel like everybody has at least a little hobby, little something to do.
Right.
Like, it was the one job I had that was not Chick-fil-A, so don't jump it down my throat, because I made a video about this job before and I got yelled at. I was like, this is not about Chick-fil-A, everybody relax, watch the full video. Anyway, this job I had, I worked in Philly for recruiting, and like they would just literally they would say like, oh, we're gonna do a little fun fact like at this meeting, like talk, say something. So I would shamelessly plug my band because that's my fun fact. They're like, oh, like you're in a band, like that's so goofy, like whatever, like so stupid. And it's just like, I'm like, I have the time. Like, one time I asked him, like, what do you do when you get home? He's like, I don't know, watch TV. And I just
boring.
Was like, okay. I was like, okay. I was like, that's when I realized, like, this is not the place for me. If this is like the most fun conversation I heard was who finished like the season of Netflix quicker. I'm like, that's unbelievable. So,
yeah.
Mark, you're so lucky to have the job that you do. And
that's super awesome. And the thing is, it's like you also have to kind of have that balance too. Like I'm really lucky and fortunate that our band has like some success, where when I show the results of the stats to my supervisors, they see like, oh, okay, yeah, they see 800,000 streams on one EP, and they're like, oh shit, okay,
you're
that's
good.
Like significant.
Yeah, like you're actually curious.
Yeah, or like I remember when I was we played 104.5 live at 5,
yeah.
And like all of my supervisors tuned in. They're like, our coworker's on like the legit radio right now, like not like a small little like dingy thing in like Bumblefuck PA. Like, this is like mainstream Philly radio, and we're all listening to him right now. So it's like,
yeah,
that definitely helps. But I think what helps even more is like showing how passionate you are, and then like following up with like really good work, because like your passion, like, and I've actually seen it kind of play against me, where like I'm so passionate about the band and I'm like taking off, I'm touring, and my bosses aren't caring at all, and then other counselors at my jobs be like, you know, they don't actually talk to me because maybe they don't have that passion, or they feel like they can't do that. And you know, I was like going up to people and talk to them like, hey, like, what's up? And they're like, I like walk away. I'm like, all right. Like, one day you're in a bad mood. 2 days you're still in a bad mood. 3 days I think you hate me.
It's so funny. It's like people like that, like I said, like in my last, I just feel like they're not happy with their lives, and they know that they want to do something else, but they don't vocalize it. And it's sad. Like, I feel bad for people who, you know, are unhappy and they, you know, would rather be doing something else. And I say, like, no matter your age, like, I think you should pursue whatever hobby you want to do, whether you want to take it super seriously or just kind of have it fun on the weekend. Like, never, never not pursue something you like.
And it's hard though when you don't have that support. Like, you know,
yeah.
I have lucky that I have my family support. I've got my wife support. I've got my job support. I've got friend support. Like, no matter where I turn, if I tell somebody like, hey, I'm going on tour for 2 weeks, it's like, go get it, dude. Like, make this a career. And there are some people out there who have like spouses or partners or family where it's like, hey, like, I'm going to pick up painting and I want to try to like sell my artwork, and like, shut the fuck up and just go back to work. Like, what are you trying to do? Like, there are people out there. So it's like, it kind of makes a lot of sense that they have this, they don't feel as though they can do it, because they're going to be hit with adversity, like wherever they go.
Yeah,
that support is huge, because it's like, no matter how hard you work, those supporting people in your life play a key role in that, in your growth, right? Because it's one thing to know you work hard, but it's another thing to be reassured that you're on the right path, that you're doing the right thing, that go for it, do it, I support you. Because like that is part of the foundation of success, I believe. Because if I didn't have people that I like had behind me, like in my side business and my passion, I don't know where I'd be. You know, I would be constantly doubting myself, like, is this the right decision, you know? And everybody who goes through a stage of growth with their passion project or in their current role at their daytime job, like, they doubt themselves sometimes. I'm sure there's not one person in the world who doesn't at one point doubt themselves and maybe could turn to someone in their support system that, you know, they just need to hear the reassurance. So it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Your boss like totally supports you, your coworkers, even as, you know, we were talking, your clients or even think it's cool, like, you know, like that's
yeah, yeah.
that's
really
how
helpful,
does actually. how does your wife handle it? Like, how is she? Talk a little bit about her too.
She's a boss. Yeah, she doesn't now. She, because like we're both like, if you believe in astrology, we're both Leos, so we're both wildly independent.
I'm a Leo too. Leo.
There you go.
I don't know anything about Leo. This. I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know what any of it means. I love how everyone's like, "Oh, like it makes sense." I'm just like, I don't know.
Look it up, and you'll understand.
Yeah, what's that? Wait. So when's your birthday?
August 1st.
Oh, nice. Okay. When's your what?
July 26th.
Okay, that's my dad's birthday. Right on the beginning. Yeah? Nice. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. No. You're good. So. Yeah. Well, like, I mean, like I said, like if you believe in it, like. We're both wildly independent and have things that we both want to do. So like she works full time, but she goes to grad school at UPenn right now too. And her big thing is, you know, wildlife and conservation and animals and biology. And like, obviously my big thing is the band. So, and she's been with it like through multiple like bands, like from the time we first met in the beginning of like college, like she knew like, oh, this is someone who wants to be in a band. And she's been through some bad bands, like some like, babe, we're gonna make it, and she's like, no, you're not.
No.
but I'm still gonna go to your show, and I'll still let you go on, you know, you can still aww, go on tour and try. That's but awesome. Like, you kind of suck. So it's just like it's just trust, that's like the big thing, right? Like, she trusts that, and it's not just like some people say, oh, you're in a band, so trust that you're not gonna cheat on her and she's not cheating on you when you're away. It's like, no, like that's given. Wouldn't be married if that trust didn't exist. But right. It's the trust of like, are you going to have your end of the finances, like for our place? Like, are you going to be smart about your money leading up to these tours or these trips away to record where you're not going to get, because if I don't work, I don't get paid. So I don't have PTO or anything like that. So right. It's like, okay, you're going to be gone for 3 weeks, which is essentially like a month of no paychecks. Are you saving up your money and reducing your spending to like Wawa and different things like that?
Wawa.
Right. Yes. But you forget, do the math, 10 bucks a day. I mean, come on. But it's like, you know, are you doing what you need to do? So when you go away and like, I have to give her my half of the rent because the rent's in her name, or the power's not getting shut off and the internet's still active, you know, all the streaming services are still working. It's like, okay, yeah, so he's doing this, but he's being financially responsible and taking care of his part of the bills. You know, our one dog had like a major surgery a couple months ago, and it was expensive. And I, even though I just got back from Nashville, I still had to be able to say, I have half the money to pay for these vet costs, you know?
Right.
You know, so a lot of that type of trust. Trust that when I am home, I'm going to give her time. Like, I'm not just going to be working band, you know? And sometimes it's as easy as just like understanding, like, does that email have to be answered like right now?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or communicating with her, like, hey, like, I know, like, I haven't been able to spend a whole lot of time with you, but this, I have to answer this phone call. I have to do this. I have to get back to this email. Like, I have to talk to this person because this is what it's for. Okay, kid, do your thing. That's fine. You know, as long as you communicate. Yeah. Don't come home from work, eat dinner, and then hide up in your room and say, oh, I'm working on band stuff. It's like, well, you didn't even tell me that you had stuff to do. You just, like, came inside and, like, walked away.
Yeah.
That's what I do, but I'm single. I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
Just, like, working on band stuff.
Yep, see ya. Yeah. Tell my parents, like, bye.
But then, So, but then at the same point, like the same trust is like for her, like from me to her too. So like right now she's like reading stuff for school. So I'm not going to try to go downstairs and make a whole bunch of noise and like bother. I'll stay upstairs and watch TV and play music and, you know, let her be and not be up her butt, you know? So there's like that support. So it's a lot of trust outside of just like, again, like the infidelity stuff that everyone always just immediately goes to. But then just like support and understand this is what the person wants to do, you know?
And it's also too. Respect for time, the respect for like, you know, mindset and goals and everything. Like that's huge to have in a partner.
And I think what some people don't realize too is it's also finding people you want to work with who respect your partner in your life. So like my bandmates respect and love my wife, and she respects and loves them. So the fact that that's there, like if I'm saying, hey, I'm going to go play at practice, it's like, I like them so much. I want you to go spend time with them. Or I want them to come over. I want them to be a part of our life. And I, all my past bands, there's only ever been maybe at a given time, one person that she actually like, who actually respected her. And I'm talking, I'm not even talking like there are some people who wouldn't even say hi to her, like would just walk past her, you know? And so it's like, she's like, well, why am I going to support you talking to those people and being with those people and trying to start a business with them when they don't even have enough decency to just say hi to me? If they don't say hi to your girlfriend at the time, how do you think they're going to treat strangers?
Yeah.
You're just not getting it. You're not getting in business with good people. So, So it's also kind of like looking at what you're doing, your passion, and like, you know, the people you're engaging with, and seeing like, are these healthy people to even be a part of it? Because you don't want it to be, you don't want to have these unhealthy relationships and then have it come crashing and burning or end up being in a financial situation because you just didn't read the signs.
Right. And sorry to cut you off, Mark. I 100% agree with all of that. It is just enough time. We have to take a quick break. We are going to hear from Mark and talk about Goalkeeper. So we'll be right back after that.
Everybody, welcome back. So before the break, we talked to Mark about his relationships with his peers, his boss, his wife, and how, you know, great they are and how key the support factor is into, you know, success with your passion project. So I kind of want to get into talking about more of you actually getting your day job. So you were actually in this band and it was actually starting to get popular as you were actually getting your current day job, correct?
Yep.
Example for you. My side business is, you know, softball. So after I graduated college, I was asked to be, you know, back on the roster as a coach, coaching softball for Widener University. And, so I've been coaching there for 5 years. I left my job about a year and a half ago to start with the company I'm at now. So I knew softball is like my passion. That is one thing. And teaching and coaching is my passion. When I sat down with my current employer, I mean, one of the things is I said, listen, before anything, here is what I do. I coach at the collegiate level. I will have to leave early some days. Are you okay if I leave Monday, Wednesday, Friday by 4 p.m.? Is it okay on game days during the season? I'm out by 2, as long as I get my work done, kind of thing. And I'm meeting my numbers because I'm in sales. So did you ever have that conversation with your current employer or your hiring manager regarding your band? And how did that go?
So it's, it was pretty much the same thing. So I was in a really bad job, and I won't bore people with the details, but it was a traditional 9-to-5. They did not allow me to take PTO for band stuff. They even gave me a hard time about my wedding. And in addition to a plethora of other like unethical stuff that they were trying to get me to do, it was just, I had to leave. but it was the first job out of grad school, so I was kind of desperate. Like, I wasn't, didn't have anything else on the table, so it's like, well, I kind of have to bite the bullet and take this job for a period of time, but I'm just not going to stay at this position until I find something that works better, you know, with the band and just my mental health in general. So when I went to apply for this job, and I did, and I got the interview, thank you, Grandma, because she used to work there. We did the whole process. They asked me counseling questions. How would you handle this? How'd you handle that? And they say, okay, Dick, do you have any questions for me? And I was just very blunt. I said, hey, so, and I even had like the stats and everything ready. I was like, I'm in this band. I know it seems silly, but it's like, it's a real thing for me. Like, we want to be professional musicians. I've got the stats to show you how seriously we take it. It's not just to practice in the garage, play at the bars and get drunk with our friends. Like, we're trying to play at the time we were trying to play the Fillmore. And then, you know, actually with that same manager, she got to see us grow and start playing these bigger venues and see like that stuff, like pay off. And I showed her the songs. I was like, here, I can even show you the music, you know, so you can just see the quality, because most local bands like don't have good quality recordings. You know, she looked at the stats and she listened. And the first thing she said to me, she's like, oh, that'd be fine. Because I'm a huge music fan. My favorite bands like Disturbed and Slipknot. And I love Crowdsurfing and, you know, going to Metallica and like all this stuff. I'm like, okay, so is there like any sort of like minimum productivity requirement? Like, if I say I can work 40 hours a week, but I don't bill for like 35 of them, like I'm going to be in trouble and I can't take too much time off because my billables won't average out the way they're supposed to per month. Cause that's a thing that happens a lot with companies, especially in counseling. It's like, you can take off as long as your billables average this certain number out of the whole month. And right. She's like, nope, just do your job. And that's like what I highlighted earlier, like all the different tasks I had to do. And I think I asked her like 3 more times, like, you're sure? Like, if I come to you and I have a job and I like all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I'm taking 2 weeks off a tour, come back for 2 weeks, take another 2 weeks off the tour, come back for 2 weeks, take another 2 weeks off the tour. You're like, you're gonna be cool with that? She's like, as long as these following tasks are done and your clients are made aware, and yeah, you're good. I'm like, well, what happens if a client's made aware, but they're not about it? She's like, well, then we'll transfer them to a different counselor.
That's awesome.
Well, because like the thing is, it's like, you can't, and that kind of comes into like, you can't let a client dictate your lifestyle, because it's giving them too much, like that's like letting them cross boundaries too. And they got that. Whereas my last couple of jobs were like, no, your life is the client. So if the client doesn't want you to take off for something because they absolutely need to talk to you that day, you need to put whatever your personal shit is aside, because you're here to help people. I was like, yeah, but I can't help people if I'm sitting there in the session mad because I told this person's not letting me do what I need to do. Not even want to do, but like things like, I gotta get my passport renewed. Well, you can't today because this client needs to talk to you. Or it's like, I need to pay, like, I need to go to court for a traffic ticket. It's like, well, you know, oh well, figure it out. So, you know, it all just worked out. And just being kind of blunt and honest and being prepared to have that conversation, it really helped. And it's been smooth sailing ever since, you know. And I'm on my second supervisor now, because the first one, she ended up leaving, starting a private practice, which I have a job waiting for me with her once I get my license. So it'll be like,
nice.
It'll be the same thing, but even more money and more flexibility.
Oh my God, that sounds like amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. And it's like, it's like 20 minutes closer too, which is great.
Nice.
But it's like in Westchester. So anyway, you know, and then even when like my next supervisor came, like she told him, she's like, this is what you need to know about all the counselors. Oh, and you really should know this about Mark. And my supervisor now, her favorite band of all time, Green Day.
Oh my God. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah. Perfect. So she like crowd surfs to Green Day in her like late 30s and goes to all the shows, and she has tickets to the Hella Mega Tour with them and Fall Boy, and I showed her like our new record. I heard like our old stuff and our new record, and she's like, if I was like in like the scene still, like she's like, I'd be all about, you'd be like my next favorite band. And then because of like the passion I had and the hard work I show, and then this, you know, luckily the success we've had, my like coworkers and other, you know, department heads and stuff have like seen that, and now they're like all buying tickets to our shows. We're like, we were supposed to play with Bowling for Soup back in March, and it got rescheduled to September. I have 25 coworkers and like supervisors who all bought tickets to come see the show and got like hotel rooms in Atlantic City.
How awesome is that? That's amazing. And honestly, like, I would love, I'd be like, oh my God, I love working here. Like, you guys are unreal. Like, that support is like, just like, it's like, oh my God, it's like reassurance that like, okay, we are on the right path. Like, they like us, but it's also like, you guys rock. Like, you guys are coming at it and just spending your money to come see me. Like, it's, that is so cool. And that's how fortunate, like, that is just like, that's what, it's like everyone's dream, you know? It's like, if I had like one company, it would be to work for, probably be like a company just like that. And fortunately, the company I'm at now is totally like that as well. So, I mean, like, I do want to touch on one thing too, is that you were like being prepared for that conversation, having that confidence to say, hey, I do this. This is a passion of mine. Don't look at me as a dollar sign employee. Look at me as a person who, you know, I'm here because I want to work for you, right? Or I'm here because, you know, this is an important role in my life and my growth later on. I'm not here just to BS, right? You're here because, you know, you have a degree. You're like, yeah, I need to work here. I understand. I need, you know, I need a job and stuff like that. But you're not like, you're like, eh, whatever. Right. So it's like, you want to be seen as a person, you want to be taken seriously. And that confidence is a key. So, I mean, what are some things that you did? Like, what was the first conversation you had? Did you ever feel like you weren't so confident in having that conversation?
Yeah. Like with older like bands, or like just learning how to actually talk about this, like the seriousness of it. And actually what I found helped, like first and foremost, was like knowing my stuff about the job I was applying for too. So being able to go in there and be like, because some people are like, well, I do this thing on the side, you know, no, not on the side. Like, I do this, this is my main job, and I do this band. But then they have like little to no knowledge about the job that they're applying for, because they put all of their focus on the band and all the knowledge, which, again, there's arguments to, like, you know, to both degrees, but I needed to come into that interview prepared on my own just for the psychology, and I can do the job well. Like, I needed to know my theories and my techniques and how to handle situations, and knowledge about different clients and presentations of different disorders, and insurance information, like all the stuff that I should have learned in all my previous jobs. Like, I needed to retain that so I could have that conversation. And then my employer's looking at me like, wow, this dude's like confident. Like, he like knows what he's talking
about.
He knows
his stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, okay, so what's an interesting thing about you? And like, oh, and I do this band. It's like, okay, but I already have this like found, like this respect for you, because you know you butchered, you know your shit basically for this job. Yeah. And you do this other thing. Okay, versus, you know, how would you handle a client who is coming to you and saying they want to harm themselves? Well, I'd probably reach out to a supervisor first. Supervisor not available. I guess I'd call the police. It's like, are you, do you know?
Yeah. It's like, do you know an answer? Like, are you prepared? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they're already looking at you like, oh, this dude doesn't really know what he, like, you know, if that was the case, it's like, this person doesn't really know what they're talking about. They don't seem like the best hire. And then you come into, well, I'm in this band too, so I need to be able to have off. It's like, you can have all the time off in the world. You're just not being hired.
Right.
Yeah.
Great look.
So like the confidence in the professional field I was applying for, like psychology, having that knowledge and that expertise, and as much as I had at that point, you know, I have more now. That played out very well, because they were taking me as a person more seriously. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I could have that conversation about the band. And I've found just kind of honesty and not coming at it like, you need to give me this time off. You need to respect this. Like, saying, this is something that's important to me. And I really, this is like, if you want me to do a really good job here and not like go crazy, like, you need to let me do this.
And
in better words.
Too, you know, because the trust behind it, like, hey, if I can show you that I'm educated, you know, I'm going to take this job seriously. And more than likely, if you know I'm going to take this job seriously, the more likely you're going to like be more lenient with, you know, taking time off, and, you know, leniency with my passion projects and everything. So That's a really key point, and like that goes along with a lot of stuff we talk about.
They have to take you seriously, and you are this not to be like a cat poster, but you're everything that you do. You're your marriage, your relationship, your job, your passions, your family, your friend group, like the clothes you wear, like everything is you. So when you're talking to different people that touch on these different aspects of your life, if they don't take you seriously about the thing that you're just have that connection for, like if my boss during the interview didn't take me seriously because I didn't come across as at least competent in the psychological field, she wouldn't have taken me seriously in the other aspects of my life either. Yeah. So I think some people don't.
No, it's seriously so true. Like, I think that I want to virtually highlight that point that Mark made. Just about like, you know, you have to know your stuff. Like you can't come into a job, like, especially I think this goes super key to like what we're talking about, you know, pursuing a passion project. I think the first thing you have to do is make sure your whatever day job you're applying for that you're going to also work while you're pursuing your passion, you have to know what you're doing. Because if you don't, then they're not going to give you the leniency that, you know, Mark gets, or like whoever, like Jackie, that you get. Like, you guys, you know, you work hard at your job, and it's, you know, they know that you're good and they know you're going to get your stuff done. And if you can't do that, you can't get mad that they're not letting you do what you need to do, because you clearly aren't helping them. So why would they help you?
And it's just, and it doesn't matter if it's like a career job that's a master's level position, or if it's, you know, a cashier at Wawa. Like, whatever you do as your like your day job to fund your life and your passions, be the best damn person you can be in that position. Like, be the best cashier, have the best customer service, you know, do the job the best that you can, show them that you care and that you deserve to be taken seriously. Exactly. And I know this might be like a little bit of an old school thinking, but it's like, you can't be taken seriously just from the start. Like, you have to earn that. That's because being taken seriously is trash. You can't just, it's like, well, they don't take me seriously at my job. Like, well, what have you done to earn that?
Have you done anything? Like, have you worked? Have you, like, you can't be at day one and be like, well, I get no respect. I'm like, well, you're at day one. Let's give it a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it plays out. You know, show that you care. Like, and I always say, like, I started my recent job. I'm only on week three right now, but especially working remote is, you know, really tough, especially just starting a job. Like, never, like, you know, obviously, like, transitioning from work that you're already at is hard, but like, you know, you're already familiar with your office. Like, I find this to be kind of challenging, and I kind of like it as a challenge, though, to that I've been onboarded remotely, because it's a good way to hold yourself more accountable, because you don't have somebody over top of you. You're not right next to them. Like, I have to, like, I think it's super important to be able to reach out to like the supervisor. Like, I check in with my supervisor at least every, like, first thing in the morning. I say, like, hey, just letting you know, like, if I know I have something to work on, or if they sign me something from yesterday, I'm going to finish. I say, like, hey, I'm going to finish this today. If I have nothing at the moment, I'll be like, hey, look, I finished the work from yesterday. Let me know if you need to fix it, anything needs to be fixed, or, you know, please give me some stuff, you know, I need to work on it. I think that, you know, being able to have that accountability for remotely is huge. And I think even in person, I think that's huge, is being able to just be so accountable. And I think that earns respect a million times quicker than, you know, just doing your work and clocking in and clocking out.
Right. We talk about this all the time, Pete, like, whether it's like your passion, your dream job, or whether, you know, you're comfortable in the 9-to-5 kind of thing, like, make yourself like irreplaceable, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's the right word, but you make yourself so good at your job that, you know, now the decision making is in your hands when you want to leave, right? If you're pursuing, all three of us are in the position now where we're almost there with our passion projects, but we still need a little bit of that security, that little bit of that cushion of that day job to help with our student loans, our rent, our car insurance, our health benefits and stuff like that, that our passion projects can't really fund right now. You know, it's like, we're almost there. But the thing is that, hey, we better be damn good at our day jobs, because of our passion projects not there right now. If we lose that job, what can happen, right? Because now everything else has to be now put on pause, right? So it's so important. It's really like I wanted to stress upon is that being serious about that day job, because, you know, your passion project, it might not fly like like with flying colors, like, you know, right away. It's not, it might not like hit the ceiling right away.
Yeah.
It might take some time, and you might find yourself having to do a day job that you may not even particularly like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, fortunately for us, we both kind of enjoy our day jobs. You know, we're three of the lucky ones, but I know, like, there's a job that I was recently working that I hated, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I got to do this. You know, I have to pay the bills. I'm saving up to move out and buy a house. Like, you know, my softball stuff isn't making enough money for me to do that. And, but the thing is that you have to be able to make yourself irreplaceable at that job, because then you put the decision-making in your hands, right? Now I'm at the point now where I'm going to work my ass off to get that passion project off the ground. And now I can be the one to say, hey, boss, I'm resigning, right? Because the last thing you want is that decision out of your hands. So you taking the time to, you know, become a professional in both your passion project and your current day job to help you do that, right? So
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
And some people just don't. And some people don't, and they get upset that it's like, well, why is this not working out? And it's like, well, this is kind of where you need to improve your game, believe it or not. It's not right. necessarily your project, your passion, like the band or art or anything. It's, you know, you're not taking your job, your day job seriously enough, so they're not going to take you seriously. So now you're not going to be given that. And like, sometimes that can lead to some favoritisms between coworkers, which definitely like, it, you know, definitely like sucks to see. But you know, when you're working your ass off, you kind of want that. Like, you want to be like, yeah. Hey, you worked so hard this last month. Take that week off and go do something fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jackie, like you were saying, and Mark, I'll direct this towards you. Because I remember Goalkeeper. I still have the message on my phone from Cody before I knew Mark or Cody or any of them.
What did he say to you?
No, he was just, this was the beginning stages of Row and Alt, which was a club I started at my college. Mark, I'm sure you know, Jackie, I might have mentioned it. That it was like a music club that we were trying to put some shows on. I posted something about, you know, I wanted to put a show looking for some local bands that are in the mix that want to be a part of it. And Cody reached out to me, was just like, hey, man, like, hey, my band Goalkeeper is like playing. And that was the first time I heard of them. And that was a while ago. So like you, like Mark, you guys have been at it for a while. And I know that because that was in 2016. It's now 2020. It's like how we're halfway through 2020. It's June. We're halfway through 2020. You know, and you guys have been grinding at it consistently. So like, I just talk a little bit about like the slow burn of like, you know, taking your time with it, make sure you're doing things right.
Well, that's like, so it's not so much like, yeah, it's not really like this, like some people say like, oh, you've been a band for like 3-4 years and you're not like assigned to like a booking agency. You're not doing this. You're not on these big tours, like some of these other bands. It's like, yeah, we're not, because we were in the position where we started this band a lot later in our lives. Like we weren't 18, 19 years old that could just work the part-time job at like your Wawa and just kind of bounce around from job to job and just tour all the time. Like, you know, we had relationships, we had family, we have jobs, we had, you know, rent that we had to pay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, we also started the band initially just to have fun and just to kind of be the party band in the area. But then when people really started to like the music and we said, you know, we might have a shot at this, you know, if people are really liking these songs the way they're sharing. So like, what are some steps or goals, no pun intended, but like, like what are some goals that we can work towards and keep and like help with the progression of the band? So we outlined very early, like, okay, the first goal was just to like write like a couple original songs to play live, learn a couple covers, and record one song and then a music video.
Yeah.
Done. And then we did that a couple more times. Then after that, kind of picked up some ground. We're like, all right, let's start playing more shows a week. Let's start playing more shows a weekend, or a week, a month. And then, okay, let's start trying to play areas that aren't in the Philadelphia, South Jersey area. Let's try to go to Maryland. Let's try to go to New York. Okay, let's go record at a real studio, you know, go away for a couple weeks. So we, as we were growing with like our professional fields, especially like I was still in grad school when this band started, Ryan, our singer, was developing his freelance company and getting connected because he does social media marketing. And our drummer was in Rowan as well, like finishing up school. We're like, well, let's take these like steps that do enhance the band, but we're not necessarily like, killing ourselves right away. So then we've gotten to the point now where it's like, okay, well, we want to go out on the road. We're talking about 2-3 weeks, like 10 to 21 days, give or take, like every time, where before it's like, dude, we're playing like a show, that like one show a week, back to back week. Like that's nuts. Like that's going to be busy. And now it's like, okay, how do we play 21? Like now we're going to break 100 shows a year. But because we grew with that and we took these little steps and like made these attainable, like, okay, it's basically behavioral therapy, right? You make these very attainable goals, you consistently hit them, and you develop this motivation to keep going. And this, and then you're also building your personal life around that as well. So then it was like, okay, now we're at the point where we have the jobs where we can tour as much as we want to. We've got money, we've got, the band is, you know, kicking in a good way. We don't, you know, it's like, to kind of like just wrap it up, it's like we grew our personal lives and the band together. And some people just do like the extremist thing of like, well, I'm starting this band, I'm just going to write some songs, I'm just going to tour months on end. And then that affects relationships with people like you're in the project with, especially if they're not on the same page. Like we have a come to Jesus talk every like once every 3-4 months, making sure like we're all on board. Like these are the goals. Yeah, and it has to be. It's like, these are the goals, right?
You have to communicate. Like,
that's important. So, you want to make sure you're on the same page because, you know, the last thing you want, like, you got to be, like, you know, respectful to, you know, your relationships, not only outside the band, but within the band, right? And absolutely. It's like, you have to listen to each other. And the only way you're going to grow as a unit is if you grow as people together and you respect each other. And I think like that's a really good point, especially if you're working on something similar, just like you.
Yeah. So and I was just going to wrap it up. Yeah. So it's like the important thing is just to kind of grow, like grow with it, like your personal life and like the passion, you know, cause it's a scale, especially when you're in our position where you actually have to balance more than just like, so we have a lot of friends who are in bands who can and all have, being like, yo, we're all just gonna work these like gas station attendance jobs and then we're just gonna tour all the time. That's cool. Like that's your life. Yeah. Our life wasn't built that way. So we had to, again, this metaphorical scale, like, you know, personal life, band life. And if we put too much pressure on band life and not enough pressure on personal, scale tips and the personal life comes crashing down. And now you're like, oh, I can't pay for rent and I'm getting evicted. I can't even think about the band right now, dudes. Like I need off. I can't do this. It's too stressful. And vice versa, like I focus so much on my personal life that the band is getting ignored, then your bandmates are pissed. So it's constantly this balancing act, which is growing, you know, with the band, like setting these more attainable goals. And again, another cat poster thing, but age really is just a number. Like, it, you know, you don't have to be 21 years old and start a band. And if any time after that, like you're going to be a failure, it's like, no, because the only thing that ever speaks is like, I hate to call art this, but it's like the product you put out. It doesn't matter if you create that koozie thing with the hose at 60 years old or 21 years old. It's still a phenomenal product and people are going to want to invest in it. It doesn't matter if you write the next Dream On at 50 years old or 21 years old. It's still going to be a great song that millions of people around the world are going to want to listen to. So I'm going to stop there before I get onto my more cat poster tangents.
No, you're fine. No, we
love it. We love it. Honestly, it's like, this is something that we want to hear and we want our listeners to hear, because it's like, no matter whether, you know, there could be someone who is or is not in a band or maybe starting their own business or has a team that can relate to what you're saying, right? That the message is not just for bandmates and like that. It's for, you know, yourself and how you're going to be, you know, presenting yourself to your team in the future. And if you, like I said, if you're pursuing a passion project with yourself or with others, so it's feel free. Like we love that. We love this kind of conversation.
Yeah. I wanted to point something out real quick. Just in case anybody missed it. You know, like when you were saying, you were talking about goals, I did not hear once that, you know, you said anything about like, we set this goal with this amount of time in front of it, like, oh, we need to hit there, because I feel like that always creates stress. It's like, oh, well, like, oh, we're not there, like you're taking your time with it. Like, we you need to focus more on the goal rather than the time frame. Like you said, you wanted to get to this, like you wanted to play this many shows. Okay, well, don't put a time frame because stuff happens. Stuff comes up, family emergencies, you know,
absolutely.
Your dog died, like, you know, stuff happens. So I think it's always important to, you know, not put that time limit. But I want to definitely keep this wrapped up. I don't want to go too long and give everyone listening. But Mark, thank you again so much for coming on. Shout out to Goalkeeper. I want to just kind of wrap up final thoughts here about, you know, your opinions, just kind of recapping everything. You know, I think you, like you said, balance is the key to, you know, pursuing that passion project while at the same time having your day job. And, you know, just would love to hear some final thoughts on that.
Can you repeat that? You broke up.
Sorry. I was just saying how I wanted to hear kind of your final thoughts of, you know, I think your main key point throughout this whole thing was kind of just being able to maintain that balance between your day job and your passion project and how they can honestly intermingle too. So just, you know, love to hear like, you know, a quick wrap up, some final thoughts on that.
Yeah. Like I said, just balance, you know, set attainable goals. Don't give yourself timelines. I mean, like I said, some time limits like are necessary and you'll read the room as they come up. Of course. I mean, you don't have to,
right.
I don't have to break it down for you because everything's different. But, I think the biggest thing is like, just remember that if you want to be taken seriously, you have to take yourself seriously and like yourself as a whole. Like, and I mean, really look at yourself, like even the way you dress, like it doesn't matter. Like right now I'm in a black t-shirt, khaki pants and like black Nikes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have to dress to like impress all the time. But like if you're going to an interview, like dress up, you know, look good.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Better to overdress than undress.
Be prepared for the job that you're going to have so you can go in there and have that respect and just have that, you know, that confidence and be taken seriously. Because then if they, you know, whatever you're doing, if they take you seriously, like they'll take the other parts of you seriously too. But if
right.
you don't take yourself seriously enough to care about that other stuff, because let's get real, it's all important. Again, it doesn't matter if you're
yeah.
a PhD at a university or, you know, a gas station attendant. Like, if you don't take your job seriously, people at that job will not take you seriously. And then you're going to have a really hard time finding that balance between the personal, professional life and your passion life. So take yourself seriously. Take what you're working on seriously. Like, learn. You know, if you're doing, you said it, like for me as counseling, like I'm constantly reading about different theories and techniques and things like that and applying them, and I'm reaching out for help when I need it so I can be the best counselor for my clients as I can. I'm also putting the same amount of effort into the band and being the, because I do all the business side of the band. So booking shows and managing money management, connection to managers and labels and different things like that. So yeah, take yourself seriously. And other people will take you as seriously as well. I think that's like my big thing. And then that'll help find balance.
I 100% agree. Yet again, thank you so much, Mark. I think this was actually a very valuable episode. I actually think this might be better the second time around.
I get to think about it a little bit more.
I don't know. Yeah, you got to, you know, work out the kink stuff like that. But Jackie, you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, really. I mean, Mark said it perfectly. Honestly, like you got to take yourself seriously, and you know, the confidence has to come from within. If you don't
yeah.
believe in yourself, you have to speak it into reality. Those negative words that, you know, if they're coming from other people, they're not the people you want to have on
sure.
your bus. And I always use this analogy, like your bus is you're the one driving your bus. People in the bus are the people are your rah-rahs and your supporters and your
mm-hmm.
your relationships. You're responsible for the people on your bus, you know? So all that negativity coming from other people should not matter. You have the choice whether to listen to them or not. But the negativity that comes from inside of your own head and between anything that's going on between your ears is your responsibility.
Yep.
So you have to take yourself seriously and speak the successes into reality. Don't use the, I can't do it because of this. I won't, I can't do it, or I don't want to, or this or that. No. Do it.
Can't mean you won't.
Because that is right. Like you said, just Nike, just do it, right?
Just
so that's my takeaway from all of this. So thank you, Mark,
course,
so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. I 100% agree with both of you. You guys said it. I don't need to repeat it. Mark, thanks again. Shout out to Goalkeeper. Please go listen to them. Please go catch a show when COVID is over and we can go back to them. I will absolutely be at that Bowling for Shoops show. I'm excited. Absolutely. So, Mark, thanks again. Jackie, thank you as always. And we'll see you guys next time.